Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Great idea, 855-993-7569. I want to talk with you about a flavor and a product. I bought some, Mark, I'm going to be with you in 1 second because I'm not going to tell you about it now. I'm going to tell you about it after Mark's phone call. But I bought some cranberry grape juice, the diet stuff, and I have to dilute it because it's very sweet, but it tastes just like grapeette. I have to tell you about grapeette, but I'm not going to do it now. We'll do it after we talk with Mark. So, Mark, welcome. You're on the air. I'm Dr. Joy Brown. Howdy.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question is, should I confront my daughter-in-law about her alcoholism? I'm 3 years sober. My son is in his first year. He's married to her, and he's in his first year of sobriety, and she continues to drink. And not only does she drink, she brings the alcohol over to my home.
Right, let's look at that part. How often does she come to visit?
Maybe once a week.
And does she bring alcohol with her?
No. She only did it once. She gave her sister a birthday present of a bottle of alcohol in my home, and you know, opened up and then said, "Oh, gee, I forgot, you know, alcohol in our home." And she drinks at her home.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Hang on just 1 second. Because it sounds to me that you have set the limit about no drinking in my house. You don't serve it. You don't have it. And she understood that. So, I mean, I think
no,
that's...
I haven't said it. It's just implied. I mean, I don't drink. I haven't told people not to bring alcohol over my house. But
okay. Well, it may be worthwhile to just say to her, have you had a problem with alcohol in the past, Mark?
Oh, yeah, I'm 3 years sober.
Okay, I would tell her that. I would say, look, let me be honest with you. Sobriety has been a hard-fought deal with me, so I would really appreciate it if you wouldn't bring alcohol to my house. I don't have it. I don't serve it, and it's a problem for me, so I'd appreciate it if you'd respect that. And I wouldn't don't assume that everybody knows or that anybody would understand it. And so I would just make that very clear to her. All right, so that's step one. Your son, it sounds like, is in sobriety, so he's doing okay, right?
Yeah.
So what if I were your daughter-in-law, what would you say to me?
I'd say have a little consideration. Well, actually, I would tell her she's an alcoholic. Anyone whose husband is sober, any woman whose husband is sober and she continues to drink and drink in front of him is an alcoholic.
Not necessarily.
She has a problem with alcohol.
Not necessarily.
Well, she could be stupid or insensitive, but
it may be. Listen, I don't drink. But lots of people drink in front of me. Some of them have a problem with alcohol. Many of them don't. Because I don't give a damn whether they drink in front of me as long as they don't get drunk. I'm not happy about anybody being drunk. But there, and I have one of my best friends probably has a problem with alcohol. I mean, he drinks a lot. He deals with it fairly well. But I mean, you know, until he says, or until he acts out in front of me, if he was ever smashed in front of me, I would say something, because that has to do with our interaction. The fact that he drinks what I would view probably to excess, as long as it doesn't affect me directly, it's not my issue. He's not asking for my advice. He's certainly not going to take it. And let me just back off for this for just a minute, and then we're going to get back. Well, no, let's deal with your daughter-in-law now. If I don't know what their deal is, Mark, if your son has said, if she said, look, I'm going to have a beer occasionally, the fact that you can't deal with it doesn't have anything to do with me, it's not necessarily an unreasonable kind of thing, because he has a problem with alcohol doesn't mean that she does. I don't know whether he has. Has he ever said to you, I wish she wouldn't drink in front of me?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him about that.
So the answer to the question is no. He's never said to you, it bothers me that she drinks in front of me. Honey, that's their relationship. And I think it's not going to do you any good to get involved in that. And it's not clear to me that she's an alcoholic. And just because she drinks in front of her husband who is sober doesn't mean, I mean, if she has, you know, a glass of wine occasionally. And I know an awful lot of couples, and it's not even that one of them is an alcoholic and one isn't, but one drinks and one doesn't. And that doesn't make either of them necessarily toxic or alcoholic or even in a bad relationship. But let me, aside from all that, think of all the years that you were drinking and someone said to you, Mark, you got a problem with alcohol. It made no difference to you. None. Until you were ready to stop drinking. Therefore, the obvious answer to your question is, even if she is an alcoholic, which it's not clear to me that she is, saying something to her about it, unless she comes to you and says, you know, my marriage is in trouble, or he seems to be angry, or you can certainly set the rule that says, no alcohol in my house. No, and I, you know, and how, or let me just ask you another question, which is, how do you feel about people drinking around you? Does it bother you or not bother you?
Yes, it bothers me.
Okay, that's going to create probably a little bit more, and you may be making the assumption, Mark, that because it bothers you when people drink around you, that it bothers your son when people drink around him, and that may not be accurate, because you know and I know a lot of alcoholics, I know a lot of sober alcoholics, and some of them, it bothers, you know, they don't want to be around alcohol at all, and for some of them, it doesn't bother at all, as long as they don't drink, and in our society, given the fact that we're a nation of drunks, that's how the country was founded, that's our major drug of abuse, it's hard to be in a situation where nobody's drinking at all. It's not impossible, but it's hard. So let's focus on you for a moment, and then we can go back to your daughter-in-law, because I know that's what you called about.
Okay.
But is there a way, are you ever around people who drink and it doesn't bother you? I mean, if you went to a dinner party and they were serving wine, would that be troublesome for you?
No, just the people who did an intervention on me years ago, after I'd stopped drinking, they're still drinking, and they are alcoholics, and it bothers me that they're drinking around me.
Well, I think if there are people who did an intervention, and again, because they're drinking around you doesn't necessarily mean they're alcoholics. It may be a little, I'm not even sure it's insensitive, but let's use that word. Maybe let me make it tacky, which may make it be a little less than insensitive, that they're drinking around you having organized an intervention. But my guess is if you ask them about it, which you can if you can do it in a non-confrontational manner, is they're saying, look, I don't have a problem. I can have a couple of drinks, doesn't change my behavior, and I can stop. That was never the case with you.
No.
So that is a distinction. Mark, I'm sure you understand that not everybody who drinks is an alcoholic, and not everybody who drinks has a problem with alcohol.
Yeah.
So maybe, my dear, what we need to focus on, you and I, is how you can feel more comfortable around people who are drinking, who are not alcoholics, who are not drinking to excess, so it feels that it... do you feel it's tempting to you?
No, I don't.
All right. So if it's not...
I just think it's rude.
Why would it be rude if it's not tempting? I mean, I think if it's tempting, it is rude. But if it's not tempting, why do you care one way or the other?
Well, I think if they're going to do an intervention on me about my alcoholism, then when I stop drinking, they drink in front of me?
Because they may not have a problem with alcohol. It may be appropriate for them to say, look, we're not alcoholics, but does it bother you if we drink in front of you? And if they hadn't done an intervention, if they were strangers, or if they were people, I mean, presumably there are family members or people that you know who were not part of an intervention who do drink in front of you. Does their drinking in front of you bother you?
No, not at all.
All right. So it's only because they did the intervention and they're drinking in front of you. All right. So who we're talking about? We're talking about your daughter-in-law. Who else are we talking about?
Sister-in-law, brother-in-law, and two other sister-in-laws.
Okay. Well, one of the
problems with alcohol.
When you say problems, what does that mean?
Two of them have been arrested for drunk driving, and one's been divorced, and the other hasn't been. That she's an alcoholic.
Have you ever said to any of them? All right, let me put you on hold. All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to compose either an email, and I don't think email is the way to do this, but I want you to compose, I guess, a speech to those five people, perhaps singly. I don't know that you want to take them on as a group, because then you're really outgunned, about what you want to say to them about their drinking, all right? Let me put you on hold. We'll come back. 855-99-DR-JOY. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Connect with Dr. Joy on Facebook.com and Twitter.com/Dr. Joy Brown Show.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Across America, this is the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
That's a great idea. We've got about 35 or 40 minutes left. We're talking with Mark, who has been sober for 3 years. There were five in-laws who were involved. Was your son involved in the intervention?
No, it took him by surprise.
Okay. So these were in-laws, but your daughter-in-law was involved?
Yes.
Do you view her as having a problem with alcohol?
Yes, I do.
And what defines the problem from your point of view?
Well, I think when my son said he was going to go into treatment and stop drinking, she just seemed indifferent about it.
That doesn't mean she's an alcoholic.
Well, she still drinks.
Doesn't mean she's an alcoholic.
She's not an alcoholic. She's not supportive.
Well, I mean, she may not be supportive, but that doesn't mean she's an alcoholic.
Her mother's an alcoholic. Her sisters are all alcoholics.
Well, and they may be alcoholics, but that doesn't mean, as you know, it's not contagious necessarily. It can be. There certainly seems to be a vaguely genetic component to it. But listen, I think first of all, what I asked you to do is to sort of think about how you would say to these people. And as I said, I'm not sure that I would take them on as a group because you're going to be outmanned and outgunned, literally. But what would you, if what do you want to say to them?
I guess in an email, I would say, thank you for your intervention. I'm 3 years into my sobriety. How are you doing? Please say a prayer for me.
I think that's fantastic. I would just add a little bit more. I think that's wonderful. I mean, I really do. You really caught me by surprise, and in a wonderful way. I think that's exactly the thing to do. But rather than saying how are you doing, what I might say is I'm not sure I could have done it without you. And so, if either you or anyone in your life ever needs help, please feel free to call on me, because I know that everybody's pleas really fell on deaf ears for a very long time. But if there's ever any help I can be to you or anyone that you love, please let me know. I think it's fantastic.
I never thought of that. That's a good idea. Yeah.
Well, but I think because what you're saying is something very different than what I was hearing before, and I'm delighted to hear it. Which is what you're saying is, you help me, I'm willing to help you, but without saying that you or anybody that you know, which is a different thing. It's kind of like when someone's stealing food at the office. Most of us have learned the hard way that you do not say, "Mark, you took my food," because what you're going to say is, "No, I didn't," whether you did or didn't. But what you can do is send a memo saying, "Someone has been eating food out of the refrigerator, and I just want you to know that it's now poisoned," or whatever. The point being that you don't have to single anybody out. Excuse me. In this particular case, you're saying, "Thank you. This is something I couldn't have done without you. And I just want, going forward, to know if there's ever anybody in your life," and you don't even have to say you. You can say, "If there's ever anybody in your life that you think could use some help, please feel free to use me as a resource." It's fantastic.
Okay. Yeah. That's good.
Because you're not criticizing them. You're saying, "I'm here." And it may be the kind of thing that, as you know, people had said to you for years, I'm sure, "Mark, you've got a problem with alcohol. I wish you wouldn't drink." Blah, blah, blah. But it has to be the right time and the right place. And I'm not necessarily a fan of interventions. I think sometimes they work really well, and sometimes they are just... they can backfire like crazy. And that's why what you're saying is something very different. What you're saying is, "Thank you. I'm 3 years into this. Couldn't have done it without you. Understand that if there's ever anybody in your life that you feel needs some help, view me as a resource. I'll play it forward." And that's fantastic.
Okay.
All righty?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All righty. Folks, again, that seems to be the kind of the theme of today's program, of hostility. You know, we're a society that believes in confrontation, right? I'm going to confront them. Confrontation is a very expensive way of dealing with people. Because by definition, it's aggressive, which means you're going to have, you know, when you go to war with somebody, their body part's going to be littering the highway. Yours, theirs, bystanders, everybody else. On the other hand, if you can figure out a way to do something gently, to offer, that sort of says more about your responsibility than their problem, you know, I feel rather than you are, you're much more likely to have some degree of success. And that's presumably the point if you're going to go to all the trouble of sort of noticing a problem and being willing to help. You just as soon be successful. You just as soon, again, not having either your body parts or anybody else's littering the road. So by doing it gently, not saying, listen, I think you're really a nice person, but you're really an alcoholic. That's not what I'm talking about. You don't say you are. You say, as we talked about with Mark, you know, I couldn't have done this without you. I was an alcoholic. I'm still an alcoholic, but I've been 3 years sober, and it's changed my life. And if there's ever a time in your life where there's someone that you love that could use some help, please feel free to call on me. And that's a whole different statement. And you don't know. I mean, it may be that the day you say that is the day that someone else is going to say, all right, it's the beginning of the rest of my life. I'm not going to do this anymore. And so you do what you can. But by doing it gently, you run a much higher chance of being successful as opposed to being snotty. Well, snotty is not the right word. Of being aggressive. The idea of the confrontation is, oh, yeah, that's what we should do. Let's be confrontational. Don't do it. All right. The other word, one of the other least favorite words in the psychological lexicon is closure, whatever that means. All righty. A couple of things. First of all, I did want to mention Great Bet. It's a company that was started by this guy in, I think it was it Georgia? No, Arkansas. And he made Great Bet. I remember my grandmother, both of my grandparents lived in the same apartment building. They lived a couple floors apart. Didn't like each other particularly, which, what a surprise. But my father's mother had an apartment that had a little, like, breakfast nook. And you had a step, either one or two steps up. I don't remember how many steps it was. But on the side of this little nook was a bottle opener in the wood. I thought this was the coolest thing ever. And the refrigerator was right next door to it, right adjacent to it. And when we would go over to visit her, she would give us bottles of Grey Pet. Now, Grey Pet, for those of you who don't know, it was actually, apparently it existed till the 1970s, and it's now back in Walmart. Who knew? Apparently Sam Walton decided that Grey Pet was a flavor that should come back. It's very grapey. It tastes very much like grape Kool-Aid, to be quite honest. But, I mean, it was fizzy. It was carbonated. And the bottles were 6 ounces. And so instead of getting like 12 ounces to a carton, you got 30. Or instead of 24, you got 30. And, I mean, it was just the best part of going to visit Grandma Dorothy is we had Grey Pet. So I had this Ocean Spray Cranberry Grape. Tastes just like Grey Pet. I just thought you'd want to know that. Perhaps not. And the guy who I think bought out the company or something was called... Oh, he was the international guy. His name was Foots. F-O-O-T-S. I didn't make this up. 855... But I thought it was cool. 855-99-DR-JOY. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
We all have our own idea about what being safe and secure means. The door's locked, bills are paid, you've got a job that keeps the lights on, and a home to call your own. But what happens when Mother Nature throws a curveball?
I'm telling you, take cover.
Are you prepared to live without electricity or passable roads for weeks at a time? Do you even have a plan B? If you do, are you willing to bet your life on it?
Children left with no homes.
And no one's coming to help them.
The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48 states. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Or visit us at MyPatriotSupply.com. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with LSProtection.com. That's LSProtection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the Vita Clay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going and what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson, and it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down at the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Talking about what really matters, your family, your relationships, your life. It's the Dr. Joy Brown Show at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Good point, 855-993-7569. Okay, Manny, you had mentioned that there was a question on Facebook, is that correct?
That's right, we actually got a post from a listener looking for some advice from you.
Like an email, but on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
And it comes from Becky. And Becky says, Dr. Joy Brown, I'm in my 40s now, and my dad passed away 2 years ago. I lost my mom when I was 18. My dad and I were very close, and with my mom. I feel such a loneliness for him that I can't describe. I went through this when my mom passed away. But at least I still had my dad with me. But now that he's gone, I feel completely not myself, and like part of me is missing and a sense of feeling orphaned. I am married, have a great husband, and young adult children, but it's just so hard. I'm not depressed. I just feel so lonely with him. he was my greatest supporter and very loving, and I miss talking to him every day like we did. Any advice?
Yeah. First of all, because the important part of your dad, in terms of the wisdom that he imparted and the love that he had for you, is still with you. It's in your head every time you think about him, and it's your heart whenever you're sort of remembering him. And so what you need to do is maybe have your daily discussion with your dad. Maybe you put aside some time. And it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to talk out loud, or you may go take a walk that the two of you used to do together, and just sort of think of him and sort of have his wisdom kind of penetrate your head and your heart. But understand that people do not live forever. Even though people are not talking about it, that they don't. And that you had, yes, you are an orphan, and most of us can anticipate being an orphan. It's one of the predictable things that happens to presumably most, if not all of us. And but the way that we sort of keep that person, you know, as long as we're alive, then that person is remembered. And it may be that, for example, you take a trip that the two of you either took together and remembering how much fun it was and talking with your husband and your kids about it. It may be writing about it. It may be going to the cemetery on a regular basis. It may be just sort of reminding, doing things that maybe he wanted to do that he didn't get around to doing. That of course that people don't live forever, and that we, you know, that we need to acknowledge that. This country is particularly lousy about it, but it, you know, it's, I think it was like Greta Garbo or something who said, no one lives forever except I plan to. I think that we all assume that the rules apply to other people, not necessarily to us. But so do the things, have the daily talk with him, remind yourself of the support that he offered you, relish the time that the two of you have together, because you really have a choice of either focusing on his loss or focusing on his life. And it seems to me to make much more sense to focus on his life and the legacy that he's left you, of feeling that you have a wonderful husband, that you have children that you've helped raise, and that sounds like he helped raise as well. Manny, was it 2 years ago that he died?
Yep.
It's at the very beginning, I think.
Yep, she says my dad passed away 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And she lost her mom when she was 18.
When 18, yeah. But, and if this feeling persists, even though you say you're not depressed, it sounds to me that you may in fact be. So if the feeling persists, there are several things you can do. One is you can certainly see a therapist. One is that you can be in a bereavement group. But one of the try some things for on your own that make you feel connected with your dad, that make you feel that he's still a part of your life, because he is, as long as you can remember him and focus on him. It may be that you can program your dreams so that he comes and visits you in your dreams, which is a very common way that we have of celebrating somebody's life and celebrating somebody's existence. But rather than focusing on his loss, focus on all the things that he's left with you. And see if that doesn't work. I know, it sounds a little Pollyannish, but, I mean, the alternative is just to be miserable about the fact that he was in your life. And that would seem to me to be something that would be disrespectful to his memory and disrespectful to your memory with him. Okay, so see if you can't figure out, and give it a try and see if it works. And if it does work, groovy. And if it doesn't, we'll try something else. But I would certainly try. And as I said, going to the cemetery is a comfort for a lot of people. I'm trying to remember. I think the movie with what's his name? Shirley MacLaine and who was the guy who played Christopher Plummer? And that he goes and visits his wife's graves and talks to her. And that's not an uncommon thing for people to do. So, all righty? That's what I would suggest.
All right.
Let me know. All right. All right, 855-993-7569. Okay, we've got about, what have we got here? About
5 minutes left in this.
5 minutes left in this segment.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got another... Well, we've got another about five, you know, maybe 10 minutes left altogether. So not a bad time to call. But folks, do not be like 40 of you that call all at the same time in the last 3 minutes, because you will drive me absolutely nuts. Because it just, you're going to frustrate me. Do you want your therapist to be frustrated? I don't think so. All right. Apparently, interestingly enough, that that Great Britain has decided to focus on a program that has apparently been very successful in, believe it or not, Detroit. About suicide. And the first thing, it's not really, there's not very much new information in it except to say that apparently Great Britain is much more repressed than the United States in terms of talking about depression and suicide and things of that sort. So they're now starting a pilot program to both educate people about some of the warning signs and to make people feel more comfortable about talking about it. But I think the coolest thing that they're doing, and I don't know if this was part of the Detroit program or not, is sort of gathering data. So, and this is going to be more and more so that at some point, probably when a baby is born, they're going to be issued probably a computer chip that they'll put something, you know, at the bottom of their feet or something, and will follow us around the rest of our life with all of our medical data on it, with our zip code, with our phone number, with our social security number, and all of us will just sort of beep as we go through things. I mean, we're not very far away from that. I mean, they already do it for animals. They already do it for dogs. And some other animals as well. But part of this study is to compile all the information so somebody has all of it. And to a certain extent, if you're an American and you read this article, you think, well, what's the big deal? I mean, we already have support groups and we already have interventions and we already have various people from various disciplines who deal with it. But I guess for the Brits, it's a different thing, which is all right. In any way that we can help each other out, we should do it. Speaking of which, maybe we have time to do this. What do you think? doing the alcohol being banned on campus, do we have time to do that? Maybe
I think
today?
We do.
Why don't you want to try that? Why don't we do that? Because this was a story about a fraternity that was put on suspension, and what they decided was they were going to have alcohol monitors. but from the fraternity, which of course is stupid. I mean, if you're going to get monitors, you need to have independent people who say, no, you can't drink, because it is an issue on a lot of college campuses. Binge drinking, talking about suicide, that alcohol has been the major drug of abuse in this country historically. So what did people think? Yes or no for alcohol being banned on college campuses?
You're going to have to give me a minute because I have to...
All right. You want me just to sing and dance?
Sing and dance, yes.
Sing and dance. As I said, I was...
find it because it was actually a while ago when we posted it, and I had to go back and...
Yeah, we just hadn't gotten to it. I was up at West Point, as I said, for a football game, and asking the guys if they drank on campus. And it turns out that they are allowed to drink on campus. And at my alma mater, they didn't used to be able to drink on campus, but now they can. I'm not sure. And Houston is a dry city. You cannot drive around with an open bottle of liquor. And the only reason that they finally changed that because either the Republican National Convention or the Democratic National Convention decided that was not a viable social order. They were going to have a whole bunch of delegates down there.
All right, I've got it here.
There you go.
All right. We asked the question, should alcohol be banned in college campuses? Why or why not? We'll start with Tony. Tony says, why isn't it already? Most of the students are minors. There should be a very harsh penalty for the underage drinking on campus, not to mention that it would probably put a stop to the rape culture.
Good point. Especially the one about the fact that in many states you can't drink till you're 21 anyway.
Right.
Good point. Good point.
Alyssa says, I don't think banning alcohol is going to do a damn thing. I mean, look at prohibition. My first school was a wet campus, and we were a nationally ranked liberal arts school. There are other schools in my area that are dry campuses and are notorious for hardcore partying. A college kid will drink if they want to, no matter what. I never got into the drinking thing, though, and several years later, I still do not drink.
Well, but the issue is not are individuals going to drink. I think the issue is does the culture support it or not support it? 855-99-DR-JOY. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Connect with Dr. Joy on Facebook.com and Twitter.com/Dr. Joy Brown Show.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Worried about getting sick and feeling terrible for days or even weeks? You need Immudyne for a healthy immune system. Why get sick and bother with products that just don't work? For just a dollar a day, Immudyne is all natural and safe for all lifestyles. Call 866-257-8668 to buy now before it's too late, before you get sick. Or go to immudyne.com, immudyne.com, or call 866-257-8668.
Hey, sorry I'm running late. I had to stop and get my vitamins for the month.
I got mine in the mail yesterday from DiscountNutritionShop.com, so I'm here totally on time.
DiscountNutritionShop.com?
Yep, they're a lifesaver in more ways than one. They have all the nutritional supplements you need, the major brands you know, plus you can save up to 10%. Write down this number, 888-908-4548.
Huh?
888-908-4548, or just go to DiscountNutritionShop.com.
Are you always 5 minutes late? Maybe you're only late when you don't want to be somewhere. Then you realize you're always 5 minutes late. For work, you set 3 alarms, drag your feet in the shower, drink your coffee slowly until you're rushing out the door. 5 minutes late. It's not that you hate your job. Hate is such a strong word. You're just not that excited about it. But most people don't love what they do, right? Listen, if you're local to the Twin Cities, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable, and a whiz on the phone, you might want to join one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, GCN. Because right now, we are hiring, and we offer benefits. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, where you'll want to be 5 minutes early every day.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with 2 black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Need advice? Dr. Joy Brown is here to help at 855-99-DR-JOY.
I'm here to exactly do that. We were talking about whether or not alcohol should be banned on college campuses, and so far we're 50-50.
Yeah, it's pretty split down the middle, I think, with a lot of the responses I was going over during the break there. And yeah, it's a pretty... It's a pretty even kind of.
I like the reasons. All right, so let's see how many more we can get done.
Let's go to Sally. Sally says, "Ban it! How can the good ones study with the lushes making so much noise?"
Okay.
Brian says, "I went to a dry campus. Didn't stop us from drinking. The area around you has more than enough of it, and if you're smart, you can easily sneak it without getting caught."
Yeah, but again, I think the issue is not, is it available? Because it always is. The question is, what is the, is it sanctioned or not? And that's, because when I was at Rice, we used to go into town and we were allowed to buy beer. And I was really good at flipping coasters into beer pitchers because I didn't drink. You can't begin to understand how popular I wasn't. Flipping coasters into people's beer. I got really good at it.
Pearl says, no, they should just enforce the rules that already exist more stringently.
So she's saying don't ban it. Just, and it depends what the rules are, I guess.
Yeah. Amy says, no, it wouldn't stop the drinking, and it would just be one more thing to spend money trying to enforce.
The enforcement issue gets a little complicated.
Yeah, she goes on to say, educating kids about the true dangers and providing plenty of other activities is about all I can think of. But some people are going to be dumb and drink too much.
Well, I think Richard's comment about creating a rape culture is also a very legitimate one. That we know that the incidents of, and roofies and all sorts of things. So let's keep going. But it's an interesting concept. All right, keep going.
Vicky says, no, we cannot protect the world from themselves. Adults need to figure stuff out for themselves. Adults live on campus. The ones that are not adults should not be drinking already. Why more rules?
But that's the point, is that most kids start college around 18, which means the only time that they're very likely not going to be adults until probably at least the end of their junior or the beginning of their senior year. So you're going to have at least half the dorm, which is, and maybe more than that, maybe three quarters that are underage.
Stacy says, when I was in college, I strived to stay away from it, but needless to say, it was right in my backyard every weekend, and I got the joy of calling the cops and watching stupid college kids get tased.
Tased? Jeez.
I accidentally learned what a bong was by swimming with the college kids one night down by the pool area of our luxury apartments. You would think most college kids can't afford luxury, but I was wrong.
Well, when it comes to drugs, it's amazing how much people can afford. Maybe not textbooks, but drugs. All right, keep going.
Annabella says, I think alcohol should be banned everywhere, period. It's poison.
Well, again, as somebody pointed out, the country tried it during Prohibition, and most people feel that that's where illegal drugs and the mafia really got their handhold. Because, see, I'm not in favor of banning stuff as much as just taxing the living daylights out of it. And if you make it expensive enough, then it's going to deter some people just because it's so expensive. And second of all, even if it doesn't deter them, you have a huge resource in order to be able to treat things. And that's... for example, Britain doesn't ban heroin, and they have a needle replacement program. And what happens is crime goes down. So, I mean, if people are going to be stupid, they're going to be stupid.
Right.
The question is, how do you protect children from it? And again, the laws are already very clear about children, and I think that was one of the comments, is that if you've got most of the kids who are underage and you have a climate that encourages drinking, you've got a problem.
Let's go to Dawn. She says, absolutely it should be banned. It really doesn't have any place in school.
Okay.
And then it looks like we've just got one more here. Nancy says, yes, I believe it should be. If the kids want to party, they can figure out another place to do it. Look at BYU. Somehow those kids have a good time, all with having a curfew even, and no opposite sex in apartments. It does work to have rules, and if the kids don't like the confinement of the rules, they can attend a more liberal college. I would like to think a lot of kids would want the protection of rules such as this.
Well, I mean, but again, I went to a school that had a curfew, that had single-sex dorms, although I don't know if they still have a curfew. I think they probably do, but they had single-sex dorms. Houston was dry. There was no drinking on campus. I don't know. I mean, I was so young. The idea, they had ArchiArts, which was the architect's party once a year, and people would talked about Everclear and doping up the punch, and somebody always got drunk out of their mind. I mean, we had Saturday classes, so the only night that there was any possibility, I suppose, of people tying one on was Saturday night. But so it wasn't. I mean, that a lot of schools were really fairly clear about what the rules were. That you had to have the dorm door open at least a book length, and people would do matchbooks. I mean, and we used to call the study halls the passion pits, and the house mother would go through and knock on the door every once in a while. I suppose that we were steaming up the windows, but I guess there was, especially if you were young, that there was a sense that that you were not going to get in too much trouble because there were people around who's going to keep an eye on you. And I guess that's part of the issue. Although I think the point being made about learning to take responsibility for your own behavior is a legitimate one. And I don't really know, again, on my campus now, I know that there are co-ed dorms, which I'm not necessarily against. In fact, I'm not against them at all. I don't know if there's a curfew. I'll send them off an email and ask. But I know that they have – that Sammy, because Sammy was our owl mascot, still is the owl mascot, serves alcohol, serves beer, and I think hard liquor as well, which is a huge change. And it's a terrible problem on campus. And the reason – let me tell you, the reason they decided to do it was because kids were, exactly as people are saying, were driving into town, and they felt that there was too much there were too many drunk driving issues, and that they figured it was safer if kids could drink on campus because then at least they weren't going to – they weren't going to have to get in a car and put themselves or anybody else at risk.
Because a lot of the dorms and living apartments and everything were all within, you know, walking distance.
Well, everything was. It was a campus that was all self-contained. So, I mean, people had bicycles, but you didn't drive between the colleges. So, yeah. And I think that was because I remember being absolutely floored that here was a school that was so anti, that they, you know, they were very clear about it, and they said that was the reason they did it, is that they figured it would lower the drunk driving. I don't know that that's the way to deal with it, but. Alrighty, 855-993-7569. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Did you miss a show? No problem. Download the podcast right now at drjoy.com.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joe Wallet, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today. 866-257-3105.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.